Welcome into episode 79 of Keithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I have got What's a Crack section, the Swap section, Mum 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 section, Me 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 section, a What You Doin' segment, the Keithness segment where you'll need your Viking hats again, a Dram section with some special guests and a Glenmorey classic single malt whisky. As ever, I sponsor this for my own business, which is www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast, so get your cup of tea and or your dram if it's a night time. I'll let you know what the crack is in Keithness this week.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section first. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I don't know what point in your listening career you change from one to the other, but I do appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you've enjoyed yourselves. A sandy hello to new group members of Tandem Sandy, Kyra KH, April Quilts, Ride to Fly. And random hellos this episode are to Susan Dolph. Hello Susan, this is your microphone still. LP Star, Third Jen, which is Jenny, Post Leslie, Coggy, Kelpat, and Taffophile. And also thank you too for some of you for putting up iTunes reviews. I had a look in the American iTunes and there was some lovely ones in there. So thank you very much. Well done for remembering the password, first of all. And thank you for trying to do it on Podbean as well. I appreciate it because it's awkward. It really is not really that good. But I really appreciate all your efforts and your messages.
What's the crack section?
What's the crack? My neighbour Miranda has started up an embroidery onto garments business. If you're in need of getting your company logo onto polo shirts or your hotel logo onto towels, then go find her on Facebook under her company name Threads, which is Keithness dialect for thread. She's asked me to go over and have a wee look at her new embroidery machine soon, so at some point I'll go over, get some tea, and hopefully get an interview with her on how her business is going. So it's Threads. If you need a pee stop, it's time for the dizzy laugh. We're not having a blather of the day, if you've not noticed.
The swap section.
Swap. The potholder swap is just about finished. I hope you've all posted out, or if you haven't managed it due to waiting on something coming, something like that, you've sent your swap partner a message just to tell them. Both my packages have been received. I sent out a tartan potholder oven mitt set, and I bought this in John O'Groats when I was there with Paula. I also sent some stitch markers from Owl Print Panda's Etsy shop. To Twin St Jan, I sent some Scottish tea bags. To Sparkle and Spin, I sent some fleece. And then I sent some handmade envelopes and stationery and bookmarks and some biscuits to both of them. And I can't tell you about mine because they're still in the post. So I'll tell you when I get mine. I had a nice suggestion for the next swap, which I had kind of considered recently, of a tea cosy. So I've put up a thread in Ravelry, or if you're not a member of Ravelry and you want to join in anyway, please email me on keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com because it's a nice thing to do, get the package and open up the nice mail.
The grandma section.
Here is mum section.
Hi Mum.
Hello Louise.
Well, welcome back to the Mum 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 section. I've not had one for ages.
Thank you.
But that's on account of you not being well. How are you now?
Oh, a lot better, thank you. Yes.
Thank you to everybody for asking after my mum as well.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Good stuff. Right. And you've been quite busy. So.
I didn't do much while I was ill, and then when I started to recover, I picked up knitting. And I'm knitting a hooded long jacket for Daisy. Mm-hmm. And it's in Aran, blue Aran, and the tweed on the cuffs and the
border.
Borders. Mm-hmm. And the pocket.
What stage are you at now?
Well, I've just got half a sleeve to knit, cool. And sew the buttons on.
Uh-huh.
And it's finished then.
Oh, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. It was a pattern that I was gifted by one of you lovely listeners, and I'll tell you which it is after this section, because I kind of find it just now.
It's reverse stocking stitch,
mm-hmm.
And it's knitted from the neck downward, and then you knit the hood upward. But everything is knitted downward.
Yeah, and we took ages to find that extra 10 stitches, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then we found the apostrophes where it says, repeat this line above. And what else have you been doing?
Louise came to the rescue there. What else? And then I picked up my UFO.
Which is an unfinished object.
First of all, it was my Wacky Stars quilt, which I started at a workshop about 4 years ago. And it's so bright, I had put it away because it was meant for the bed upstairs, but the sun shines on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a talk at the Caterers Quilters, and she said, don't put your quilt in the sun. So that's when the quilt went away. I brought it out again, and then I took it back. It went on like that for a while, and I decided to put it on my bed where it's on the north facing side, so the sun doesn't come till late on, so it wouldn't fade it. And last week I finished it. I hand quilted it, all the blocks. I'm just delighted. It's so bright and lovely.
Fair cheers the room up. It's beautiful, really beautiful. I'm going to take a photograph and put it on the Flickr page if Mum's acceptable with that.
Well,
I'll take it so that it's soft focus, if that makes you feel better. No, she's putting herself down there. It's beautiful.
It's called Wacky Stars.
Which means what?
The blocks are called Wacky Stars.
Cool. Just for you non-quiltery people. They all have different names, don't they?
Yes, all the blocks have different names, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
Actually, we've got a story about that. I remember at Christmas time, Keith and his quilters had... we had a wee quiz on our Christmas in November day.
Yes.
And we're all sitting there and it's like a pub quiz and we're all... competitiveness comes out. And one of the questions was, name as many blocks with the word star. And we all looked at each other and looked at Mum and went, no, I've no idea. And then I went to take my book back to the library on the Monday. And what was the book about? Blocks with stars.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else have you been up to?
So then I had another quilt, which was a block a month. And you didn't know what was coming out each month.
Mm-hmm. That was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
Long-time listeners may remember. Because
yes.
You were cutting that out at Sarah's house.
That's right, yes. So I was looking at the photographs the other day on the computer. So I did January, February, March, April. And then I stopped sewing it where I was still getting the
patterns.
Every month, because I wanted the rest of the quilt to, you know, all work in with the colours.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that it went on till December. Mm. I got all the patterns then, and it was called the Mystery Quilt, and tiny little pieces.
Yes, they were small.
Very tiny, and I really enjoyed doing it, and so... picked it up every now and then, and I would continue working on it. And last time we were at the Glasgow at the...
ACCC.
Yeah.
The craft fair.
The craft fair. I bought 2 wide pieces of material, different kinds, for the backing of Miwaki Stars quilt and this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked that up, and I'm busy hand quilting that. And I've just got 1, 2, maybe 3 more long blocks to do, to quilt, and then the border to quilt.
I've got a question. See, when you're thinking about doing a quilt, as I am just now, and you're not really told exactly what to do, do you quilt the top of it first and then go and buy your material, or do you buy your material all at once? Or is this to be organised or what? What do you do?
Do you mean you not quilt the top? You patchwork it. You mean
patchwork the top, and then when you stick it, when you go to do the back, have you already bought that bottom piece of material?
No, not always. No, it just depends what you've got in. What you do is you decide on your colour scheme, your material for the pattern on what you've decided on the front, and you sew that. Then you buy the wadding if you haven't got that in, you measure it, and then that's when you can decide on the backing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the back material. People use different material, cotton sheets if it's wide enough and long enough, plain or patterned. I like using pattern on the back, just simply because of my quilting.
Oh, yeah, because it would hide a multitude of sins, wouldn't it?
Yes. And Janet loves using the...
calico.
Calico.
Mm. And you, for baby blankets, baby quilts, you suggested buying some fleece?
Or flannet
mm-hmm.
for the backing, and that's nice and warm
mm-hmm.
if you can get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends.
Mm-hmm. So what else have you been doing?
And I finished off, I was at a workshop where we did photographs onto material, and there were flowers, and we had a lovely selection of flowers, and we were shown how to bead them and machine stitch them. So I got a thistle and...
a thistle and a sea holly.
Right. So I beaded it and sewed it, machine sewed it and broidered it and left it. So that was another UFO. UFO?
Yes, UFO.
And I put the backing on and the...
binding.
Mm.
Binding.
The binding on,
mm-hmm.
and that both up on the wall now.
Yes, I noticed them as soon as I came in. I'm well impressed with Mum's motivation with her sewing and UFOs. It's good.
It is.
Finally, would you like to tell us about your pot holder that is hanging in your kitchen? It's beautiful.
It is. It's lovely. I was in the pot holder swap with Louise, and I received a
hand-woven.
Hand-woven pot holder. Green, blue and black squares. There's green and blue, and the black is in between the squares.
Kind of like gingham type.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm delighted. And then it's got a lovely big hook on with made of wool with a toggle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lovely. I'm delighted with it.
Mm-hmm. Who was your swap partner? Who was your swap holder?
Alison from Colchester.
Yes. I looked up what Colchester was.
Did you?
Didn't
Essex?
Know. No. Me and Richard stood there. Yes, me and Richard stood there and says, do you know where Colchester is? And he says, no. And I says, well, it must be in a bit that I've never been to. So you just avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But she said in her letter that she... well, what else did she send you?
Jam.
From? Wilkin and Sons, Tiptree, Essex. And she's sent Mum some little jars of jam. I know what I'm wanting to have.
And a notebook and pencil.
Oh, lovely.
And a postcard.
Oh, of Colchester Castle. Oh, yeah.
And a lovely dragon at the front, isn't
and
it?
Flower,
lovely.
Yeah,
made beautiful. Out of shrubbery.
Mm-hmm.
She went to school.
Yeah, so she went to school in Tiptree. And then I says to Mum, well, that's where our Sarah, her husband Al's granny, is from Tiptree and sends them up a hamper every year. And I think, oh, that's really cool.
It is, isn't
yeah,
it? It's a small world.
It is indeed.
So it was a lovely two parcels.
Mm-hmm.
She sent the jam separate
with
a lovely card. And the front of the card is an old quilt from 1800 to whatever. And it was...
sorry, this has reminded me of Keith's quilters the other night.
Oh, yes.
We're having this thing in Edinburgh where you can go and get a quilt aged and referenced and recorded. And I says, it's kind of like Antiques Roadshow, but not get it valued. And they looked at me and went, yes. Pre-6, 1960, they said. And Mum turned to me and says, you weren't born in 1960. Yes, I know. Sorry, carry on. Both quilts, just reminded me.
It was crazy quilting, and the embroidery was absolutely... And it would have been all hand-sewn,
yeah.
And there were diamonds... But it was still crazy quilting, but it was in the diamonds and the embroidery. Oh, I keep picking it up and mm-hmm. looking at it, and I just love anything like that. Beautiful.
What did you send Alison?
I sent Alison 2 pot holders. I made them, and the block was Friendship Stars.
And that's quilted as well, isn't it?
And I quilted it just with the machine, and I reversed the colours. It was red and beige, red star, beige background. And the other one was beige star, red background.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a project bag from your pattern.
Mm-hmm. Which is off the internet, which I've told you about before, but very, very good pattern.
I was chopped to pieces. It was a piece of tartan that I had altered many years ago from a new kilt.
Oh, kilt.
Kilt. Tartan kilt. Mm-hmm. So the front was tartan, the back was toning in red, and the top piece was toning in yellow. And I had put some cord in, and I tried to put a bead on each end of the cord, and I was on ages trying to thread it, but the holes was too small.
Mm.
So last week, well, I just put red ribbon through and put a knot on each chain to pull it. But last week I bought 2 beads with large holes if I ever do them again.
Well, which I'm sure you would. And is that
and
it?
And it's short braid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're back to full strength, Zelia. And hopefully listeners will have enjoyed that, because I'm sure you did. I enjoyed listening to it and talking and getting shown all the stuff and looking at the blackcurrant jam.
And strawberry.
Oh, yes, definitely staying for dinner.
Yummy, yummy.
Thank you, Mummy.
You're welcome, Louise.
Oh, isn't she lovely? It's nice to have you back, Mum. The pattern I couldn't remember that Mum was knitting is called Fiona by Elena Noddle, or Nodale. It's a jacket, cardigan, and from age 2 to 10, which is fine. It's really good. I like how Elena gives out good age range in her patterns, because she did that with her Wild Vanilla as well. Oh, it's nice to catch up with Mum's news.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Now to the me, me, me section. In the great Scottish tapestry news, we are plugging on. Are we plugging on? Ella has completed the thatch roof, and she used a long lead stitch in different colours. It took her quite a while, but oh, it looks fantastic. Joan has given the boy James some trousers, and there's other various bits and pieces being done. And they re-outlined the school bench in something a bit darker. And Dorothy told me that it was the Della stitch, because Dorothy and Della, put some twisted around what was already there and made it just look darker, because I wasn't very happy with it, and I was going to put some more work into it. So it's really funny, the Della stitch. The blog has been updated, so if you'd all like to head over to www.keithstextileartists.blogspot.com. Now, Mai's Vorbal Handspun has sold to the lovely Rostia and her doggy Puppy Cakes. I'm told it's not for Puppy Cakes, but Puppy Cakes lives in Rostia's house. I'm very pleased it's going to the lovely person, as her messages have been very newsy. And you know, I like the newsy messages. I'm desperately waiting here in the email saying it has arrived, because it's still in transit as I typed. But, I was quite pleased. I've also sold my old microphone, which was fantastic, because I just randomly put up a tweet one day and it's gone. And it's already been used by Bronwyn, so thank you, Bronwyn. And it gave me a bit of a boost to PayPal. And then Richard used it all to buy a drill. So, well, there you go. However, I have set up the Etsy shop, and I am Caithness Craft, you know, original, all in one word on there. So come friend me or do whatever it is you do in Etsy, because I'm quite new to it yet. But so far there is nothing listed, because I have a plan. A plan so cunning it would fool the wiliest of foxes. Well, that is. I hope you like it. It's a kind of business plan. I'm going to start with the leather bookmarks and the handmade envelopes and stationery. And then when this sells, I'm going to get enough to get a professional logo, because I've been speaking to our computer designer geek that we do business with, and we're talking about how much it would cost and what I wanted, and I had no idea, but I've got a better idea now. So then once I've got the logo made up, I'm going to order a rubber stamp with it and then a screen silk print frame, so then I can silk screen print onto fabric. And then I'm going to make some project bags, and I'll make some plain and some logo, because obviously you might want to buy something for your mum or your friend who doesn't actually listen to the podcast. They might then listen to the podcast, but I appreciate there is people out there that don't listen. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't, but you know. And later in the year, I think I'm going to sell some hand spun and have a knit along of a coin purse. I thought I could do the inside of the purse in material and then maybe zip it up. You get the hand spun, you knit up the rectangle in a Caithness flag pattern, and then all you do would be to sew up the sides and onto the zip. And I'm going to make it limited edition due to the fact that I would need to prepare the fleece, spin the fleece, write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. And I really like the idea of a Caithness knit along, so I thought I could start with that. And it has to be later in the year, not too close to Christmas, unless you want to give it as a gift, but you could buy it before Christmas. So that's a plan. Regular quality goods rather than lots of not so greatly made ones. Plus, I'm going to rotate the item so it has more exclusiveness about it. Oh, exclusiveness is actually a word. I thought I'd made that up. The reason I know this is because my spell checker never underlined it. But what I'll do is tell you at the end of the podcast episode, so like the drams, if you're no interested, I'm no ramming it down your throats, because a market is only a market if it's engaged and interested. There you go, you didn't know that, did you? Well, you do now. Every day's a school day. I made it to Caithness Quilters, meaning we have a few workshops lined up, and you can go look on at caithnessquilters.co.uk. If you keep watching the photo wheel around, you can see Mum in a few of them. The Alzheimer's Quilt Project at Handham Stadium, I'd quite like to mention that, because it's fast approaching on the 8th of June 2013, and they're trying to cover Handham Stadium, where Scotland play football. Well, rather, they show up, really. It's probably better we cover it in quilts. But it's to raise money and awareness for Alzheimer's. They still need some 40-inch squared quilts. So if you've got a spare 5 minutes or a day and you fancy rattling one up, go for it. Or go along on the day and buy one, or just go along and give them money, support them. So if you go to www.annhillquilter.co.uk, you can get the links from there, or basically type in Handham Quilt in Google and it will find it. I will find you, Liam Neeson. Right, yes, what did I make this week? Well, you might hear in my voice, I've had a cold. But I'm plugging away on the Chewbacca from Star Wars hairy jumper for Sandy. And I'm using Surdur shaggy wool, which is supposed to be for a scarf, but it makes a great Chewbacca. I thought I had it finished on Friday after sort of stuttering for a while trying to figure out how to do a hood. And I had started knitting it sideways and then no. So then I went back, and do you know how hard it is to unpick fun fur wool? And there was a slight incident last Sunday where my daughter Daisy, my beloved little girl, who's blonde and blue eyes and looks like butter wouldn't, no she doesn't, yes butter would melt in Daisy's mouth, but she was covered in spaghetti sauce because she was halfway through eating her dinner, and they were taking so long to eat their dinner, Richard and I kind of got up and started getting organised. And I heard Richard say to Daisy, "Oh, you better not see, let your mummy see that you're doing that, take that off." And I knew instantly she had put on the Chewbacca jumper, which only had half an arm. So, yes, I was raging because she dropped some stitches on it. In fact, I turned green because I was like the Incredible Hulk, but in a Louise version with a Caithness accent. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't big. And I'm not proud of myself, but she said Rory, Mommy, for about 20 minutes. Anyway, I have run out of wool of the Shaggy Fun Far, and I've got half a hood to do. So, aye. And then he wants a weapons belt as well. I have no idea what I'm going to do for that. But I tried it on Daisy and she looked like an Ewok. But Sandy looks pretty funky cool in it. Anyway, that's my story. See, you've never noticed, I really didn't do much else. Although, I drum carded up quite a bit of Hebridean fleece and I've hand culled them some white mule fleece and I had a wee bit of a tidy up my craft room again. You must think it's so messy, but you would be so right.
What you doing?
Now, we've got a few of these. Jackie Hardy of Happy Making Designs said on Facebook that she's had a good week for pattern releases. There's Doilies in Knit Now magazine, Tendril Socks in the Knitter magazine 58, Jubilant Shawl pattern released as a kit by the Natural Dye Studio. Do you remember the Jubilant Shawl pattern we were talking about in her designer Ali episode? Well, it is now out and she's frantically working on more magazine stuff just now and it's finally going right after too many false starts. So it's nice to hear from Jackie. We've got Maria from Subway Knits podcast said that she passed her final classroom observation from grad school. So congratulations, Maria. You'll get your life back now because I know you're looking forward to it. Fiona said she was doing things at Comic Con and she was having a great time. But other than knowing it's a convention, it means nothing to me. Ooh, Vienna. But I know you have a great time when you go. I just have no concept of what it is. Sandra says that she's using her new Lanark wool to make the Liberty Jacket by Jane Watling. And my friend Kirsten said she was having her lunch when I said, what you doing? But as she doesn't listen to the podcast, I told her she was in Egypt. I can kind of get away with that because I've known her for so long. But I have to be nice to her as well because she is my friend and I'm going to stay at her house in a couple of weeks.
The
Caithness segment. I'm speaking Norwegian. Caithness segment. Right, everybody do the Scooby-Doo dance. Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo. Back in time. Previously on Caithness Game of Thrones. In a world. Lot's son Sigurd the Stout had taken over the earldom from his father and he was killed off after fighting his brother. Right, so Sigurd, he had earldom and he was doing his thing, you know, as you do, being nice to farmers, then not being nice to farmers, and he installed what was known as Udal rights. And I kind of tried looking them up to explain them, but there wasn't a good explanation. And I think it means taking the right to own the land off the farmers and giving it back. So if one of you Viking experts would like to tell me, then I can pass it on. But other than that, just make it up, because I think probably that's what I'm doing. I hope I got that right, but I'm not sure. I tried Wikipedia and it didn't really give a very good explanation. Anywho, Sigurd was called out for a fight from some Scottish earl called Finlake. I reckon he was from Aberdeen way. Finlake, Finlake-a-dee, to fight him out in the playground after school, which was at Skitten and near Wickagame. That must have been the big bit where, right, we're going to have a big fight. We'll have it with Rami and we'll have it there. Which is about, it was near Kilminster, so it's about 3 miles out of Wick. Why there? Maybe it's flat and I don't know. Anyway, so Sigurd, he's like, goes to his mammy for help. Mammy, help me! And apparently she was a sorceress, so I suppose I can understand that one. And she gave him a banner with a beautifully embroidered raven and said, if that banner fails, so would Sigurd. Or the person following it. Well, I like the fact it was embroidery. His mammy told him that, had I thought you might live forever, I would have reared you in my wool basket. But lifetimes are shaped by what will be, not by where you are. Harsh words, but pretty good advice. So then he went off to fight Finlake. And he lost 3 standard bearers, but he won the battle with a help from the farmers and they got their land rights back again. And that's where the book stops with Sigurd. So next episode we're talking about Macbeth. And I'm not 100% sure yet if it's the Macbeth or just some random bloke called Macbeth. So, more Caithness Game of Thrones next episode. Drams. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking, then thanks for listening. I'll catch you next episode and there's only blah 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 stuff after it. But if you are, here we have special guests of Graham, Derek, and Richard, and I suppose me. And we're drinking a Glenmorangie classic single malt whiskey. Oh, and there's lots of screeching in that one, so you might want to lower your ears just now. I tried to dampen it down and I did take out some of the bits where we were talking over each other and it just didn't mean anything, but there were some really funny bits in it, so...
We're drumming. We hope you like drumming too.
Hello and welcome into this episode of The Drams. And we have two very special guests. We're delighted to have you along. It's Derek and Graham. So I'm afraid I'm surrounded by three West Coasters, open types, who went to school with Richard, and I'm quite surrounded by them. So if you hear squeaks, it's just me getting kicked.
Well, we are speaking hows at 7.
Pound
11. How's it going?
I don't understand, I'm sorry. So you'll hear different Scottish accents for you over in the States. You'll be delighted with these Scottish accents today. This episode was supposed to be tomorrow night, but the way we've worked it, it's tonight. So what are we doing tomorrow, boys?
A wee 10k.
Me 10k. Most northerly mainland Britain 10k race.
Cool.
Which is starts from the Prince Charles's castle, which is just about our neighbour.
Used to be his granny's.
Used to be his Queen Mum's, and it goes round the local roads and back to the castle, and then there's a quick detour to the house to get showered, and then straight to the pub at Johnny Groats.
Perfect. So, this episode, I managed to find ourselves a Glenmorangie Classic single malt whiskey.
You found it?
In Tesco's, it was reduced
to... So a nice cheap deal in Tesco's.
£18 for a... What's that? 70 centilitre. I remember. Right, the box. The craftiness and the marketing looking of the box. It's dark blue with whitish highlights in gold and red. And it's got a slightly embossed Elgin Classic. What are they, barley or wheat?
I'd imagine it's barley.
Stukes. Right, and it's quite bonny. Random whiskey bottle. There's quite a lot of information on the back for the tasting notes. And the bottle?
The bottle, I'd say it's gone to the traditional shape and style of bottle, like the one I referred back to, the one I had been feeding the young lambs.
Aye.
It's kind of traditional shape of bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a fine golden colour coming through, a very sort of light, pale.
Golden syrup, you might
golden
say?
Golden syrup, and I think that's bang on the money.
I would say so too.
Yeah, which is akin to Barbie's hair.
Darker than Barbie's here.
I'd
say golden syrup is a new category.
Right, right.
Right,
so
shall we cork?
Have you mentioned that we shall please enjoy Glenmorangie responsibly?
So it's a 40% volume and 70 centilitres bottle, this one. And
just been opened.
It's just been opened.
Now.
And it's got a bony blue top.
Whoa, just like whoa.
Just sniffing it like it's drugs.
It's the angel share.
It's getting an eye on it already. I like how it tells you to enjoy responsibility, but in the box it says ideal for drinking at any time. That's just wrong.
Should you drink it before you're doing a 10k?
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
That's a fine cork.
We're a little bit rusty because we've not done this in a wee while. But seeing the boys came up, I thought it would be a special occasion to start back into doing the drams.
Yes. So, we'll just put a very small one for us.
Mm-hmm. A very small one for Derek. That'll be Graham's.
I made a nice clogging sound.
Right.
What we do is, we'll take these over, and...
You have your sniff first.
Sniff Derek. First.
Ooh!
That's quite nice.
Now, is anybody getting lemon meringue pie? Or am I wrong?
You're wrong. Because you couldn't even remember it. It was lemon curd and meringue.
And lemon grass. Very wrong. Very wrong.
You're right.
Can you keep that in?
This is after a joke of I don't get the meringue joke in a West Coast accent.
Oh, you're right.
Perfect sense. In an East Coast accent, it's just like, what?
I'm getting...
That's it, it's finished.
Butterscotch?
I don't know.
I was thinking it's like the Angel Delight butterscotch. It's that kind of really sweet.
Yeah, I'm getting a sweetness in my eye, definitely.
Definitely whiskey.
That's exactly what me
and
Derek like each other, but yeah.
Right, get a wee swirl.
Oh, a wee swirl, then you have to see how.
But it, does, it catches at the back of the throat as well, it's quite strong.
Well, I've got that stage, awesome. Yeah. Right.
No, but the smell catches at the back of the throat.
Oh, no, not me, no. Huh? No, I like smell.
Definitely alcohol.
Very sweet. I'll get a lovely, sweet, kind of fruity.
Touch a buck first.
Right.
That's a really nice smell.
I can't smell it anymore.
Smell.
Could
oh,
I have
a rum like
this?
I actually can smell something, but
no. It does hang through the glass very well, by the way.
Highland Park, see, that's a good way of telling a good mob. Therefore,
Slangeva.
Nice to have you up, guys. And here's to a good 10k tomorrow.
Right. Good to renew old friendships.
Fine when I'm standing watching his rum. Throwing chips at you.
I'm getting a slightly different taste to the smell.
Yes. Well, come on, Graham. Tell us what it tastes like.
I think adding the water's changed that totally. It smells different as well.
I agree.
It's really mellow, actually. It's really
nice.
Smooth.
Very nice. Dangerously mellow. Dangerously mellow on the basis that we have to run 6.2 miles.
It's okay, I'll hide the bottle. This is your lot. In fact, you should
hide the bottle. You put it in the stash along with the chips that you're going to stand at the bottom of the road and throw at us as we run past.
She's not even going to cook them. They're going to be frozen
in the bag, so I don't have to tidy up too much. Clunk.
Don't you slip on them?
They're that hardy up here. They don't even bother cooking them. Just eat them raw.
Tatties raw and frozen.
Oh, here, you'd be thankful for some tatties. Glenmorey is in Elgin and it is round the corner, literally from my auntie and uncle Sutherland and Eileen's house.
No, that's really quite nice.
It's nice.
It's just I would say it's a classic Speyside. It's just really nice, mellow, smooth.
And I don't normally like Speyside, but yeah. I like that.
I'm not getting
I don't
any spice in it at all.
No.
Is it, see, what's the...
It's basically, it's matured in oak casks, which I can get the oak, producing a whiskey which is light golden colour, yes. And gently spiced with fruity butterscotch notes. I'm not getting the spice, but I'm certainly getting the fruity butterscotch.
No, because we did a bit of cheating earlier on. We looked on the website of what you're supposed to taste.
Did you?
Not getting any of that.
That was the lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
So, anybody got any Elgin stories? Where is Elgin?
Elgin is just a tad inland from Lossiemouth on the south side of the Murray Firth.
And it's about 30, 40 miles from Inverness.
And about 70 miles odd from maybe Aberdeen. 80 miles from Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And the notorious
E96. Which I like Elgin because when
it's nice, it's a nice memory, it's Elgin. I've had a fine curry there.
Apparently, there's a craft shop there I've not found yet. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have family there.
It's good farming country.
Incredibly so. So, who would you like to have for your celebrity? Made up your draft. Derek, we'll start
It'll
with
be
you.
Me first then,
yeah.
Well, I was thinking I would invite Bono.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Because I like Bono's music, and he's got a certain attitude, you might say, and talks a lot of stuff.
He's very Marmite, isn't he?
Yes,
I would say Bono.
Very much so.
I love his music. Well, I love U2's music.
Yeah.
And
I also read his book Bono on Bono, and I found it pretentious and not what I expected it to be like whatsoever, but I would like to sit and talk to him to see what the real man is like.
There's a good Glasgow story about Bono performing a live gig.
A child dies
every 3 seconds, and he's clapping his hands every 3 seconds, and somebody in the crowd went, "Well, stop clapping your hands, you..."
Anyway,
you'll be editing that out as well. Like that.
So I would like to have a few drinks and get a wee bit drunk and see what the
bring out the real Bono.
See what the real man.
I think he'd be a good Irishman once you got him drunk. I think he'd be some good stories and band
so.
And stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be quite interesting to hear how they got to where they got.
I'd like to think that Larry Mullen Jr. would slap him down to size when he gets too big for his boots, because he was the founder.
He's the boss.
He was the founder guy of U2, and he's pretty cool.
And that's what they said. The last time we went to see them was that we've only ever had one job, and he was the man that gave him the job.
Mm. Every day's a school day.
That day, there's
so
the video.
Just have all of you two there.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Have them all.
Though Adam Clayton would have to sit outside and smoke because he's a bit of a chain smoker.
Yes.
And he'd have to stay outside and smoke.
Interesting fact about him, he's the only one that's ever missed the U2 gig.
Really?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, in Australia. Fell out with him and.
I thought he was a secret finished fact.
Yeah. He fell out with him on the day.
Is that right?
Are you a bit of a U2 guru, Derek?
Not so guru, but aye.
A geek.
You were looking for the geek bit.
Richard and Graham have been talking about bikes and Derek. So I said we would find Derek's inner geek. So we know it's
probably where it is.
Right, Graham, who would you like to have for a dram tonight? We've already got you two.
Well, it's not as good as that. I was thinking that last time I picked a cracker and everyone else, but I'm going to indulge this time. My geek side and rallying, I think I'll have Henry Toivonen.
Who?
I see, that's what I knew was coming. Henry Toivonen died at 24, I think, if I remember correctly, in the old Group B rally cars when they were getting to serious power, 600 brake horsepower, space age frames, and everyone else. But he won the RAC when he was a very young man when he came across, and he won it at Talbot Sunbeam in a rear wheel drive car, and he beat factory teams, powerful teams, and he was just naturally brilliant behind the car, and he also liked to go out. Bit of a womaniser and a bit of this. I think it'd be great crack.
Cool. You did lose me at RAC.
I see. I knew my geek was going to come out with me.
That's all right, I don't have to edit any of that. Richard, who are you having?
I would have, and I don't want to kind of go over this theme of someone I had before, but I would go with Barry McGuigan. Because growing up and always being a big fan of boxing, he was always kind of there when I was young, and he was always a very good attitude and image for a sportsman. He never did anything really that bad, and I watched a documentary about his life quite recently on telly, and I just think he is how sportsmen should be, and we'd probably just smell the drums. We wouldn't actually drink any, we'd go out for a wee run, and we'd do a bit of training together.
When you see him now commentating and everyone else, he always speaks about the way that it should be done and everyone else, because he was always disgusted at the way the two heavyweight British heavyweights, Hay and Chisora, ended up scrapping.
David Hay.
He was totally disgusted and everyone else, and it was bringing such a shame. And
he's very eloquent, no?
He speaks about boxing, two thugs beating each other, but when he talks about boxing, he speaks about it as an art form.
It is.
Yeah. And
it should be.
And he speaks so highly of it and everyone else, and he gets disgusted by all the shenanigans that go on and everyone else.
There are bad apples in every basket. But I just think he's a very, very good sportsman and a good
ambassador
for the sport. Aye.
And he sings a good Danny boy, or is that his dad?
Probably him. Because it's interesting how he was raised a Catholic in the south, just south of the border of North South Ireland Divide. And he married a Protestant lassie from the north side. And because of that, he then went to fight for Britain as a Northern Irish representative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he basically got his foot on the career ladder in boxing.
I think if you're inviting him, I think Carl Froch should be another one that could two of them together.
Possibly. The Carl Froch is a good boxer, but he's not really been. He's been around a while, but not in the same longevity as Barry McGuigan. So, anyway, Louise, who would you have as your guest?
Well, I had decided before we started this, and now I might change it. I can't think of anybody to change it to.
I'll go with your gut.
Barbie.
Does that mean Ken's coming round?
You want?
Which Barbie? Is he going to output on an outfit, or just the original Barbie?
The Barbie.
The original Barbie.
We talk about her because we talk about her colour of her hair. And, yeah, let's she's had quite an interesting life. She's been about since 1950 something.
She's definitely been about.
And I just think she's so lovely that she would just brighten up the world, and you think everything's sweet and rosy and shallow and just lovely. But I just think she'd be nice just to sit there all unproportioned and have perfect hair until the easy.
You've really watched Toy Story too many times, haven't you?
Yes, I love Toy Stories. But I also have Daisy, and Daisy doesn't dress Barbie, she undresses her and then mosses up her hair. So that's the Barbie we probably have. But then we're having all males, otherwise you lot would like that, wouldn't you?
I don't know if I would.
No, I don't, I'm not into that kind of stereotypical kind of...
Even for me, that's too much plastic.
On that note, back to the drams. Now that you've had plenty of it, what do you think now?
I do like this dram.
It's really nice.
And you know what, I'm going to have another one. But not a big one, because we're running 10k tomorrow.
You're not allowed another one. Until tomorrow night. You can have more tomorrow night. What did you make of the whiskey?
Well, for a ginger with a monkey shoulder.
Please refer back.
We're going to have to lock your door for this.
Who doesn't drink whiskey much? It's actually going down quite well.
Oh, good. I'm slightly scared. Would it be one that you would recommend when you're in the bar and somebody says, have you had a Glenmorangie? And you would say,
yes.
It's like pulling teeth.
I have had a Glenmorangie
before. And would you have it again?
Yeah, yes. I would say it was very nice and you should try it.
Excellent answer. Look at that in the rail.
What was the question again?
What did you think?
It's a really nice...
I've seen the hand signals.
It's in lovely flow there, right?
It's a really nice smooth malt. It's quite palatable. In fact, very palatable.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hide the bottle, haven't I? Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be doing the main 10K tomorrow.
Well, I'll do the main 10K, but it'll be pure whiskey. It'll be coming out of my pores.
Richard?
I would agree with Graham. It's quite nice. It's mellow, very drinkable. I would say it's got an outstanding flavour.
I think it's got lots of different flavours in it.
It's nice, it's lovely, lovely bouquet. But it's not like you get certain whiskies that have got a really distinct flavour. It doesn't have that.
No, that's true. I would agree.
No,
like Isla Lagavulin or Talisker or places like Skye, because it doesn't have that distinct flavour or taste.
You can say it's a Speyside malt easily.
But it's very nice, very, very palatable.
I was really looking forward to the lemon meringue.
You're right.
On that note, listeners, sláinte.
Thank you, Ma.
Thank you to Derek for coming up and taking part, because he doesn't drink whiskey, bless him. They all did very well in the May 10K today, and they all came in about the times that they were hoping. But the weather was okay. It was a bit windy in some bits. And the best bit was that Sandy took part in the children's race of a mile, and he did a very respectable time, bombed out and ran all the way back, so... very good, and he got a medal and a banana. Daisy and I were support crew, and we threatened to throw chips at them and drink wine, but we didn't. We just stood there and shouted, well done, well done. So it was a very busy day. There was 94 bairns in the race alone. There was a lot of runners, and pretty much think everybody finished. So well done to all them. And it almost made me want to do it. And I say almost, not going to.
Blah 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 blah
blah blah blah section. Like I say, blah 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 blah. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on about me. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I am on Etsy as caithnesscraft. Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Caithnesscraft, and you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010, or you go to the Podbean website as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting!